I've had the blessing in my life to travel a decent amount. One of my favorite places in the whole world that I've been to is this little town in central Italy called Assisi. Assisi is the hometown of St. Francis. It's this quaint little medieval town built on a hillside. Been there several times. The most memorable time I went to Assisi was a few months before I was ordained a priest. So when I was a deacon, it was right before my last semester of seminary. And I did my what's called canonical retreat there. Before a man is ordained a deacon or a priest or a bishop, the church requires him to do a week-long retreat. So I did my week-long retreat, silent retreat, in preparation for ordination there in Assisi. It was the first week of February of 2013, which is super low tourist season, so the city was empty. Myself and my classmates, we stayed in a convent in Assisi, and there were days where I would walk from the convent to the tomb of St. Francis, and I wouldn't see a soul in the streets. It was like I had my own little private medieval town. Every time I go to Assisi, though, there's this tangible peace that resides over the whole town. You can feel it. And it's that sense of peace that attracts millions of people to this simple little town in central Italy every single year. Today I want to focus on one word from the gospel. Just one word. And the word I want to focus on is one. John the Baptist said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" John was not the voice of many. John was not the voice of the majority opinion. No, John was the voice of just one, crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord." You see, God has given each and every one of us a mission. One mission. Every single one of us. I may not even know the full extent of that mission in this life, but we've all been given one mission, and there's only one person that can fulfill that mission, and that's me. John the Baptist was given this one particular mission, to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. We think about other great people like the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was given that one mission of being the mother of God. Or Peter was given the mission of being the first leader of the church. Mary Magdalene was given the mission of being the first person to preach the truth of the resurrection. Stephen was given the privilege, the mission of being the first Christian martyr. Everyone has a mission. Now, sometimes when we hear that, we can be tempted to think, despair, doubt can creep in. Is that really true? Does God have a real particular mission just for me? Does my one life, my one simple life, does it really actually have any significance in the world? Does my one life really matter? I recently came across a quote that I really like about this from a 19th century American author and historian. His name is Edward Everett Hale, and he once said this: "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. Everyone has a mission. I'm only one, but still, I am one. I want to tell you a story about a simple, humble Polish couple, Carol and Emilia. God gave them a very simple mission, to be faithful spouses and faithful parents. Both of them were born in Poland. Carol was born in 1879. Emilia was born in 1884. They got married in 1906. Later that year, in 1906, their first child, Edmund, was born. Their second child, Olga, didn't come until 10 years later, and sadly, she died shortly after birth in 1916. Their third child, named Carol, after his father, was born in 1920, after Emilia was told by a doctor that she should have an abortion because of her ill health, which she refused to do. Sadly, Emilia was only able to live another 9 years. In 1929, she died of kidney and heart problems, just a few days short of her youngest son, Carol's 9th birthday. She was just 45 years old. But in those short 9 years she had with her youngest son, Carol, she was a strong witness of the Catholic faith to him. Her teaching, her holiness, made an impact on her youngest son. Carol Sr., now widowed, became even more a man dedicated to prayer. Sometimes when his son, Carol Jr., would wake up in the middle of the night, he would see his father kneeling in silent prayer, just like he saw his dad every Sunday kneeling at their parish church. Side note, what a powerful witness it is for a son to see his father at home praying silently. In 1941, Carol Sr. died of a heart attack. His body was found by Carol Jr., his then 20-year-old son. It was soon after this that the now orphaned Carol decided to study for the priesthood. In 1946, Carol was ordained a Catholic priest. He went on to become a bishop. He went on to become an archbishop. He went on to become a cardinal. And then in 1978, he was elected pope, and he took the name John Paul II. I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. Every one has a mission. Emilia and Carol Sr. didn't live long enough to see their son ordained a priest. However, they were faithful to their one mission, and their witness of holiness planted the seeds of faith in young Carol's heart, who went on to become one of the greatest popes in the history of the church. Emilia and Carol Sr.'s cause for canonization is currently underway. I'm only one. I'm just one person. But still, I am one. Why do so many people every year go visit that quaint little town of Assisi in central Italy? Those little quaint medieval towns, they are a dime a dozen. You drive through Italy, you see all these old medieval towns built on hillsides. there's nothing special in that sense about Assisi, but still, millions and millions of people go to this one city. Why? Because there's this tangible peace that resides there. But where does that come from? Well, 800 years ago, one man, just one man, lived a radical life for Jesus Christ. One man was faithful to the mission given to him to rebuild God's church at that time in the 13th century. And his impact can still be felt today. Everyone has a mission. Now, in terms of worldly impact or notoriety, not all of us are going to be a St. Francis or a Peter or a Mary Magdalene or a Benedict or Scholastica or a Therese or Mother Teresa or John Paul II. But that doesn't mean that I don't have a mission. Maybe one of you, because of your faithfulness today, maybe your great-grandson or your great-great-granddaughter will one day become the saint the church needs in the 22nd century. Maybe some teenager in the discipleship group that you volunteered to lead as an adult is going to be impacted by your witness, and he or she is going to go on to do great things for the church. Maybe one of our young altar servers will be influenced and inspired by their parish priest to become a priest one day. I am the voice of one, crying out in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. John had one mission, to prepare the way for the Messiah, and he fulfilled it. Each and every one of you have your one mission. You may only be just one, but still, you are one.